Well, the weather's heating up and the cricket's rolling on. There's movements at Manly and the pizza delivery challenge is gathering momentum. This is Full Credit to the Boys. Well, good afternoon, good evening.
Hello.
Former legend.
Hello, how are you?
You can find him at @former_legend. You can find me, Late Mailman, at Late Mailman on Twitter. This is Full Credit to the Boys at @FCTTB_podcast. Tweet us whenever you want. But let's face it, we don't get many. We'll mention you.
How was your week off?
Week off was good. It's been warm. I've not been too much, to be honest.
So I got the message. We're not recording last week. And I contacted the Late Mailman offices and they told me you're in Hawaii. How did your night out with Robert Allenby go?
Please. I think they got their wires crossed a bit. I had a Hawaiian pizza.
Mm.
I was in under the air conditioning. Robert Allenby, Jesus, that's a whole can of worms. We're going to get to that in a moment.
Awesome.
Let's get to the news.
Oh, God, that's good.
How good is it?
Oh.
I actually got tweeted about this news theme the other day.
Did you?
No.
Oh.
Oh, sorry.
First one in to tweet the news theme.
Appreciation.
Yeah, we'll get a beer.
Yeah. Our news tonight. The test series, Australia wins 2-0. Drawn fourth test, hundreds to Smith and Warner. I feel like we've said that before, hundreds to Smith and Warner. Yeah. We said that before?
Yeah.
Australia needed 3 wickets to win, but it wasn't to happen. But Joey Burns, Monty... They call him? Well, I call him that anyway.
Our prediction was right. He 250s will secure him a run.
That's exactly what we said.
Exactly.
He'll do enough without setting the world on fire. So good on you, Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo.
And just quickly, I think we missed Mitch Johnson in that last innings. We needed to really tear in.
Well, the pitch was disintegrating a little bit, and I reckon that let's call him loose bastard, would have wreaked a little bit of havoc. Yeah. When I say loose bastard, I just mean like screw loose in his head. He will take, he will just tear him
apart. A loving term.
Absolutely. A massive term of endearment. Speaking of cricket, the KFC Big Bash is keeping on. You know what? I actually tweeted the other day. I won't go too far into this, but I tweeted, how good has the Big Bash coverage been? Because I think it has been.
No, it's good.
Didn't I get smashed?
Serious?
I think pretty much every Queenslander saw
my
tweet.
Yeah.
And of course, I mean, with the greatest respect to you guys up there, as much respect as I can muster, I was just talking about my appreciation of it. It's been a great coverage, whether it's been an hour later or whatever, or 2 hours later or... Maybe, you know, maybe they put reruns of MASH on instead.
So I've you're talking
the Big Bash coverage.
Your tweet was about the production.
Absolutely, and just the fact that I've appreciated it.
Not of
New South Wales.
The fact that Queensland's in 1956 and we'll probably get this series in maybe a year, two years' time.
I wanted to tweet back to someone. You know what? You can blame Sir Joe Bjorky-Peterson.
Yeah.
And the cows in the curtains.
And you've got a chance this weekend or next weekend or whenever you're voting. Can't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, dig in. Anyway.
We move on. Speaking of cricket, AB de Villiers, how good is this guy?
Oh, he would you like to be bowling to him?
Not very much, to be honest. Bashed 100 versus the West Indies. Got 100 off 31 balls. Got his 50 off, I think, 3 balls. He just hit 3 big 17s. And then he finished with, I think, 149 off 44 balls. So how good?
Yeah, no.
Did you see some of those highlights?
Yeah, someone put them on our Facebook page.
Oh, that would have been Clive.
Clive?
Oh, yeah, he moonlights as our social media man and our legal man.
He's moved on from law.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Amazing. I'd hate to have been bowling to him. I'd like to have been watching it.
How arrogant was it? In the greatest way, in the greatest possible way. But some of those shots he was doing, he was standing outside off stump and just, he was almost... doing like the limbo and then swatting it back over fine leg for six.
Yeah, he spanked the West Indies like a red-headed stepchild, hasn't he?
Speaking of getting spanked, how's that for a segue?
Really?
Hawaii, Robert Allenby, he got spanked right in the head. He got kidnapped, robbed, abducted, put in a boot, drugged,
hurt
by homeless people. I think that... Was there anything else in there? Was
or
there an
did
alien?
He?
Was
or
there
did
aliens
he?
In there at all?
He watched Taken or something and dreamt a lot.
You know he referenced Taken.
Oh, come on. Did you see the homeless girl, lady that helped him?
I heard her interview.
Mate, she's a 7.
Yeah.
They do homeless well in Hawaii, clearly.
Right. No, so skeptical, I think, is probably putting it the most mild way that people have.
Hoodie, I told you the rumor going around before we started recording. Do you want to elaborate? Talk to Clive.
Clive, what do you reckon about the...
Clive, come back.
The philandering. Do we...
Yeah, maybe next week.
He's shaking his head. Maybe we could leave it up to Dan Ganane to... he's been pushing the envelope, hasn't he?
Dan...
We love you, by the way, Dan. We're not dissing you.
About Dan later on in the podcast, okay. But Dan, I think, is on the money if rumours are led to be believed, and Dan wants to tell everyone...
Well, he was the first person I saw tweet what I'd been thinking. So,
right.
So good on him for putting it out there. I mean, if you use the word allegedly and apparently and supposedly and I believe, then I think you can maybe dodge the old defamation doctor.
Why don't they do what the Bulldogs didn't just use? Player A had sex with Player B's wife.
Yeah, or the I think there was an Australian cricket team in the late 90s that did the whole Player A, Player B thing as well. But I digress. We move on to good feel-good story because Robert Allenby's not feeling good.
Brett Lee retired.
Well, that one. Oh. Yeah. Oh, I mean, we'll mention that. Yeah, there we go. Brett Lee retired.
Oh, I thought that was the good news.
You just don't like the guy, do you?
No.
Did you like seeing him get spanked in that
super
over the other day?
There was plenty
not
of super.
Just super over, but the over before that, because he bowled the final over. They bashed 15 off him. Yeah. Then they did 19 in the super over.
He qualified for West Indies.
I really like Brett Lee. I think he'd be a good bloke.
Let's push on. Okay. He can't sing.
Do we have any of that audio of his Bollywood hit?
Sorry.
Alex McKinnon stands for the first time. How good a story.
Yeah, that's probably the best news so far this year.
I was thinking more about that. I don't know too many more details except that Rick Stone came out and said that he'd stood on his own. And then I think there was some vision or some photos or something that I saw as well. I wonder when the doctors basically bluntly said he will not walk again. He's going to be confined to a wheelchair. Like, I don't know if he's actually walked as such. I think he's just stood, which is the next step to walking.
Yeah, my understanding, and it's very limited, obviously, is that the doctors will undersell rather than oversell their expectations.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Did they just basically undersell and say that, you know, basically they can only go up from here?
Yeah. So that's what I understand from the outset was that the doctors were always talking worst case scenario. And Alex McKinnon has gone best case so far.
It's quite serendipitous, isn't it, really, with the whole... What? You know that word?
Sorry.
Good. Nice coincidence. The whole rise for Alex thing. I never really thought about it till now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically, you know, life imitating slogans.
Yeah. Twitter slogans.
Good on you, Alex McKinnon. The Socceroos in the Asian Cup. You been watching?
I've got to be honest. No.
We'll keep it brief.
Yeah.
They're 2-1 in the Asian Cup so far. They play China next.
Is it on free to air? I can't find it.
No.
Right. No. Is it on at all? Wasn't the SBS and ABC outbidding each other with our money? Wasn't that the whole deal?
I think Fox Sports have got it. Correct me if I'm wrong, at late mailman. But since I only have ABC and TVSN on my TV,
love
I'm pretty
TVSN.
Limited.
TVSN,
I'm pretty limited. So
what have you bought?
Oh,
a lawyer. A lawyer, Clive. Well done.
Yeah. He was on special. It was 2-for-1. I killed the other one.
And Clive defended you.
I did say when we opened the show up that the weather's heating up, which means that it must be Australian Open time.
Yeah.
So we've had, what, 2-3 days play down there so far, which means that tomorrow we should get temperatures of about 57 degrees.
Yeah,
is that right?
So far, I believe 3 are dead.
Yeah.
Three Polish tennis players who have never seen heat like it.
I think someone played the whole game whilst hooked to an intravenous drip.
Good.
The other day as well. Good. You know, Dean Jones style in Madras. In
well, they should do it the way we'd do it and have a beer and end. Change of ends, have a
you
beer.
You just got me mid-sip then, by the way. Can Leighton do it?
No.
Cool, let's move on. We missed this story in our little NRL wrap before. A couple of movements.
Mm.
Kieran Foran to Parramatta for 3 years is the rumour.
That's the very good oil at the moment.
Isn't it? I mean, a lot of people... do you think they're just waiting for the season to start?
Yeah.
So that the story might get lost in, you know, someone being found in a toilet or something like that.
I don't know whether it's telling or not, Hoodie, that your guy from Manly came out and said that he wanted Foran and DCE tied up before the kickoff.
Yeah.
Well, we're dangerously close to kickoff and Nick's nada. Sally well, Fitz.
I've heard... Yeah. Getting a bit of Sally Fitz treatment. I've heard, and this isn't breaking at all, but that Cronulla are chasing DCE pretty hard too. And they're playing the Ben Barber card. They're really, really good mates.
Oh, I thought you meant... Okay.
Yeah, no, they're not saying, hey, Cherry, come join the Ecstasy crew or whatever they're called.
Epic Bender.
Epic Bender, not Ecstasy. That's edit that out. A whole five, other different five, meaning. That's, five. Yeah. Epic Bender crew. There you go. I can't really see Cherry Evans joining an Epic Bender crew.
No.
I could see him moving for a mate, maybe. Cronulla, you know, I think they're willing to break the bank a little bit, as are the Eels for Foran. I believe that, I reckon Foran's going to go. I reckon that's a fait accompli.
Well, my mail, as good as it is, and on this one I'm going to say it's very good, is that the deal is done, but not yet signed.
Yeah, I believe it.
And let's be honest, if Manly lose Foran, that leaves them with more money to spend on DCE, so I don't see him going anywhere.
Well, speaking of... Sorry, go on.
Understand that he's built or bought a house or renovated a house at Freshwater. He ain't going anywhere.
I believe his missus is from the Northern Beaches as well, and they've got a kid, maybe a second.
Okay.
I think... Anyway, they've got at least one child. Name is Navi. If you've seen Avatar, then... No. I just remember something about Avatar. The baby's not blue, though. Speaking of Manly, massive signing. Burgess. Luke Burgess.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's just above Baby John, as far as the Burgess signings.
Yes. Yeah, he goes, Sam and George. Bit of daylight to Tom. Bit of daylight to Luke. Bit of daylight to Baby John.
Yeah.
Who is not going to be suiting up for Manly. But what do you reckon?
Look, I said to you before we recorded, I think it's a good signing. I honestly do.
We don't talk to each other before we record, mate.
Oh, this is awkward.
Yeah.
Clive and I were talking before we recorded. And, yes. I think it is a good signing. I think they would have got him for cheap. He didn't play many games because of injury last year. However, he was fit for the whole finals campaign and didn't get a run. And he will love it over on the north side of Sydney. He'll be fine. So I think it's a smart move by Manly, a smart move.
Well, they've got a good record of turning forwards who've perhaps not been getting a go at their other club into pretty decent machines. I'll look at Justin Horro, I'll look at Tommy Simons, Josh Starling even, who came from South too, played pretty much most games this
year. Can I tell you, I never thought much of Brent Kite until he arrived in Manly, and he was a stalwart that ended up going on to bigger and better
Clive
things.
Clive Churchill medalist, though, at grand final, in a match where a winger scored three tries.
Goes to show you what sort of a judge I am, but yeah. No, anyway, I think it's a solid signing, a very good signing.
All right, mountain or a molehill time. This, to our new listeners, and thank you for joining us if you are for the first time, at FCTTB_podcast, at Late Mailman, at Former_legend. You can also find us on Facebook too. Get on through there. Click some likes and shares and comments and stuff like that. That's about the limit of my Facebook knowledge. Mm. I believe you can poke as well. Poke us if you want.
Wow.
Give us an Insta poke or whatever you call it.
Swipe right, is that also? No,
that's a different thing. Mate, come on. That's Grindy you're thinking of. mountain or a molehill?
It was a bad week when I mixed those two up, Grindr and Tinder. Oof.
We've got a story, basically not a headline as such, but a essence of a story. We say whether it's a mountain or a molehill. First one from the Australia vs India Test Series.
Yeah, Steve Smith, who claimed that Spider Cam made him drop a catch. Is that story a mountain or a molehill? And I've got a fair opinion on this.
Of all the cricket I sat and watched, and I see that Spider Cam hanging around there, my fear has not been that someone's going to hit it or that it's going to disrupt the play. It's more that it's going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Because, come on, you can't tell me. Like, I mean, elevator cables snap once in a blue moon.
Two things. First of all, Spider Cam, the name. Doesn't that just invoke visage Rolf Harris camera or...
No, that's Rock Spider Cam.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, Spider Cam, honestly. The other thing is why haven't they used drones? Now, you're more technical than me, and I watch porn, and but sometimes I watch shows that show what we're up to in far as technology is concerned. Surely a drone without cables is... Why is this cable thing such a great idea?
Again, I'm not a tech, but I believe
that's a question without notice.
Might have, yeah. Thanks for that, by the way. The answer that I'm going to fluff about with is that perhaps the fact that drones aren't actually wired might mean that live pitches, there might be a slight delay in live pitches.
Right. Okay.
Whereas I would imagine Spidercam is cabled and therefore it's hardwired, therefore the pitches are delivered quicker. Again, correct me if I'm wrong. Please do. In fact, at Late Mailman's my Twitter account.
Guys, please
give
jump
me
on board,
give me a little endorphin know. Rush from one of those little notification things. do it. So anyway, mountain or a molehill? What do you reckon?
I say it is a mountain because I just don't understand why they are using that thing. First of all, I'm not that impressed by the pictures. And second of all, if it has the chance of disrupting play, surely it's a dick of an idea.
What about the chance of killing someone? You can't tell me that thing, if it drops from a great height and even just swipes someone, isn't going to do some pretty serious carnage.
Yeah, if it takes out Virat Kohli.
It's a shame Ranatunga's not playing anymore.
Why are you going to chocolate coat it? Chocolate spider.
So I'm going to say a molehill that Steve Smith tried to make into a mountain.
No, he doesn't drop catches like that, mate.
Yeah,
that's
but
legit.
Everyone was sort of saying that perhaps it was just a bit of a sun or wind issue, or perhaps just bad management.
Mm.
I'm going to throw the Aussie captain under the bus.
Yeah.
Go for it.
No chance of us getting him on as a guest anytime soon.
Speaking of cricket, Steve Smith's about the nicest bloke in the world from what I can understand, which means he would never get involved in sledging or niggling or on-field confrontations. I did see him do a bit of a Captain Cranky thing at someone the other day when they missed a pretty easy run out.
Right.
Which reminded me of Alan Border yelling at Craig McDermott that if he did that again, he'd be on
good
the first
times,
bus
good
out
times.
Of here or something like that. But
just for, I don't know whether you recall, but when, what was the series we played Pakistan in? What desert was that in? Dubai or
Abu Dhabi? Day one pitch looked like it was day five.
Yeah. So I did watch a little bit of that. Apparently,
there was United Arab Emirates,
there was
by
more,
the way.
More people in the pub watching it than at the ground.
Yes.
But
it was 49 degrees.
I know Clark gave Smith an absolute razzing for talking to the batsman and told him that his mates are up in the grandstand. If he wanted to go and talk to his mates, he can go with him. So I think Steve's got a little bit of that mongrel in him now if he's telling other people to.
Okay, so to that end, cricket, sledging, niggling, on-field confrontations.
We're talking about Dave Warner, honestly.
Mountain or a molehill. Yeah, I mean, backstory is Warner got himself in a situation which I don't believe he actually had a hand in originally. I think it was someone else who threw the ball, allegedly hit the batsman, and then they took off for a run, which generally you don't do if it hits you and goes for overthrows. I think he's a fierce competitor, and I think he just... Exactly what I think it was James Sutherland said. He needs to stop looking for trouble.
Mate, I'm going to go. I'm going to stick up for Dave Warner here. I love the fact that he's given it to blokes. I don't care what he says on the field. If he's under their skin and getting at them, I don't give a rat's. He's there to do it. I love the fact that he does it. It's cricket, mate, and it's men's cricket. And for that matter, I'm sure it happens in women's cricket. And I love the fact that Dave Warner is a bit of a mongrel, and every team needs one, and he's ours. And the more he does of it, the more I like him. So good on him. Give it to him.
So you're going to say molehill in that?
Molehill,
it's a bit of a...
Yep. It's namby-pamby. It's people running behind different stories to stop what they think is not the gentleman's agreement in the game. And I say stiff.
Well... It's a bit boring for me to do this, but I think I'm going to agree with you, to be honest.
Yeah.
Sledging's been around for much longer than, you know, political correctness has been. And
there's clever sledgers and there's not.
Of course there are. There's ones that you have no time whatsoever for, and we don't need to even dignify them with a mention. But, yeah, if you're good with it, keep doing it.
One ep I'll tell you about a great sledging story that involves me. Not one of my finest moments, but not tonight.
That was just in traffic, wasn't it?
No.
And next one, mountain or a molehill. Still in cricket, West Indies cricket in pretty poor form over the last 18 months. I'd argue almost 18 years, to be honest. But do we say, they're a shadow of their 80s self, aren't they? And to be honest, early 90s as well. It wasn't until sort of 95 that Australia wrestled back the Frank Worrell Trophy. And they haven't really been the same since.
Nothing yet. I look at Viv Richards commentating the Big Bash and still think he'd get a run the way they travel.
Don't those guys just get down on their knees for him?
Yeah.
I've got to say, if he doesn't have the accent...
And some ladies.
Yeah. Oh, I can't tell that story. I can't tell that story. Maybe you can send me a personal message on Twitter. Tell me to follow you. I'll send you the Viv Richards story that I know.
Well,
you heard about the grill team and their Rod Stewart story. You know what? I'm actually going to tell it to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to make it completely to air. So, okay. In the mid-80s, they were on a tour of Australia.
Right.
Viv Richards and I believe it was Gordon Greenidge stayed out longer than everyone else.
Mm. Is that euphemism or is that actually...
They stayed out on the town longer than everyone else. Yep. Came across... I said I don't like cricket. Oh, no.
I love it. Really? That'll get the viewers in.
Yeah, so you might want to just personal message me for that one.
Wow.
I heard that from a very good, reliable NRL source.
Wow.
So it must be true. Whew, that escalated quickly. So, sorry, Mountain or a molehill? West Indies cricket in poor form. I'm going to say Mountain, as in it's a serious deal. They're in a bit of trouble. They need another Brian Lara or a Viv Richards in that instance.
I'm saying your story about is a mountain about a mole.
Ooh, I'm so glad I edited that out.
Jeez, it's warm.
Former NRL stars in trouble, Craig Field, Matt Sears, Jason Smith. What's Matt Sears' story?
Cocaine.
Good.
Alleged.
Yeah.
At this stage. Jason
like
Smith.
Possession, use, dealing?
Dealing, I believe.
Jason Smith's was something similar, I believe, allegedly.
Yeah.
And Craig Field, if you've been missing that one, he king hit a bloke in mid-2012 up near the New South Wales-Queensland border. Who the fella then died, and since then Field's been on bail
pending,
and he's basically been hit with a manslaughter charge. And I think he got 10 years.
Yeah, part of the king hit rules.
He's had a bit of a checkered past, the old Craig Field. I wonder if that counts against. I don't think they can take.
So anyway, account, but let's go back to this. Without going too far into individual cases, is this a mountain or a molehill? Is this just a little bit of shit timing where there's a few stories all at once, or is there more to this?
I think it's a mountain, and I think there's a lot to be said about it. I know someone who's actually working on documentary at the moment about this sort of stuff, and I think it's a real issue, and I think... I know that there are a lot of people involved in mentoring people while they're playing, setting up for, like, I know
not enough.
Luke Lewis, for example, over in Penrith was they would pay for education for the boys, and he was doing a business diploma and stuff like that, which is great stuff. Good bloke, Luke Lewis. That's why he gets a mention. So I think clubs need to be really diligent about that sort of stuff because these guys have been playing footy since they were five. They come straight out of school, go into footy. And if they're not careful about it, they might hit the skids when they come out.
I agree. It's a mountain. Back in the day, I know this sounds like an old bloke talking, and I guess it is. Back in the day, guys had jobs and then played footy on the weekends.
Des Hasler was a teacher. Can you imagine that?
Tuvey is an accountant. Is that correct?
Oh, mate, he was like Mr. NRMA for about 15 years.
But... You know, the guys that don't fall or luck into media jobs, and some of those, you can read between the lines actually how they got those jobs. The ones that don't, all of a sudden go from the bright lights to nothing, and also go from big money to nothing.
Brett Kenny, like, arguably one of the best players of the 80s.
Superstar.
Won, I think he scored tries in three consecutive grand finals, doubles maybe even.
Yeah.
Anyway, basically, he was one of a few guys who helped Parramatta to be one of the teams of the 80s. He was their cleaner at Parramatta at one point, a job which he then got removed from.
Yeah.
This is a club great, which I might be wrong, but there might be a statue of him outside the stadium. And he's cleaning the statue. And he was living with his mother on the Central Coast. This is a guy who carved teams up in the 80s.
Yep.
Absolute great of the game.
One of the players that Queensland absolutely feared when he was named at 5'8", and we always named him at centre. So, anyway, I think it's a mountain. I'll go back to what we're starting with. It's a little bit scary and a little bit more of a coincidence, and it's becoming a little bit more prevalent as well. So,
and it's not just people who are just, you know, down on their luck. This is pretty heavy crime.
And we're not talking about blokes we've never heard of here.
No.
You know, we're talking about three genuinely genuine names. Stars.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Our next one, sort of lamenting the past a bit more as well, suburban footy grounds disappearing. This has been a topic of conversation for a long time now. We're talking about your Brookvale Ovals, your Belmore Ovals. I mean, Brookie's still, I put it in quotes, top flight ground.
Shithole.
It's still used in the NRL. Belmore's not. Your Cogra Jubilee Oval, which is, I think, had a pretty severe facelift. Not severe, but, you know, serious facelift over the last little while.
Leichhardt, Campbelltown.
I think you really think of Brookvale and Leichhardt to start with, both because they're just keeping it honest. As far as suburban grounds go, you could jump the fence of them still. Whereas Penrith and that is a certified stadium now.
The toilets at Leichhardt are very similar to Slumdog Millionaire. I would not be surprised that's where they got the idea for the movie. They're horrendous.
I saw some highlights of a game West Tigers played there a couple of years ago, and they panned to the houses that border Leichhardt Oval, and there's my mate sitting on one of the roofs.
Yeah, nice.
He didn't even know the woman. Yeah. There's a woman putting washing on the line, and she looked up at him as if to say, "The fuck?"
And I'm pretty sure there's at least one toilet in that block that you can still see the ground from if you're sitting on the shit house. So
I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
I think Mountain, I think there's a lot to be said about. I know there's money issues, there's sponsorship issues, and like an ANZ stadium with 5,000 people in it is better value to a club than a Brookvale Oval with 15,000 in it.
Yeah. Can I just tell you a bit of a rumour that won't go away? It's not new, but the rumour is there is a rugby league team playing in Sydney right now that will be based at the Sydney Football Stadium next year.
That are currently playing at a local ground.
Well, they're currently playing not at the Sydney Football Stadium.
Right.
Let's just say that.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay, our last mountain are Molehill. What's it say here? Teams form in NRL 9s.
So do we read into the NRL 9 as any kind of form guide?
Okay. Is it a book through which to base the season on?
Yeah.
No. In what is it? They only have to have one or two of their top five earning players. Is that what it is?
Yeah. And so with that in mind, you say...
And also Ken Nagus is playing for Canberra.
Mm-hmm. And let's not forget that Cronulla ran second or third last year and North Queensland went well. But yeah, but what about... I'll toss one. I was going to say Molehill to that. What about players for...
Well, they're only running at 8-9 other blokes, aren't they?
Yes.
If you're quick and you find a gap, you're going to play well.
Mm.
You know, I remember Jack Elsgood absolutely carving up the Nissan World Sevens back in the day. And although he had a great career, I think that could have been around about his highlight.
Mm. I'll tell you a story. I know a bloke that played against Darren Clark when he played in the Sevens.
Former sprinter come rugby league player, Darren Clark.
Yeah, and this guy's job was to stop Darren Clark at any stretch. And this
was
bloke
he on a motorbike?
This bloke could hit. And I think Clark scored 2 tries in that game.
Yeah.
And he started hooting and hollering and carrying on a little bit. And this bloke said to him, "When I get hold of you, I'm going to knock every tooth out of your face." And to which Darren Clark looked at him and said, "I've seen how you run. I'm safe." So
that's not a bad sledge from someone who, let's face it, didn't really have much right being on a rugby league field. Yeah. So I think it's molehills all round for that one. All right, get off the fence time. Basically, you've got to choose a side. There's no fence sitting allowed.
Mm.
That way, you guys out on Twitter can chime in if you disagree with us as well. And don't get us wrong. We staunchly agree with our viewpoints here. Get off the fence. Who do you choose? I'm looking forward to this. The All-Stars game versus the NRL Auckland Nines as a sort of a pre-season spectacle.
Yeah.
Go for it.
All-Stars game, believe it or not. I don't know what it is. I can't get too excited about this Auckland Nines. I don't know. I don't know. It's like a bit of hit and giggle.
It's a bit of a 2020 of rugby league, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, by definition and sort of by the spectacle of it as well. Like, I'd imagine there's going to be a bit of a circus about it. I think it's good. I enjoyed it last year. I only watched a little bit of it. I sort of tuned in for half an hour and then went away, and I think I had the NRL pass, and so I was just watching it on my iPad.
Right.
On the dunny, which is why I just chimed
got
in
off
a couple of times.
Off you porn for a couple of minutes.
No comment. You know what though? I'm gonna say the NRL Auckland Nines, because the All Stars game, while good, it's sort of, you know, if players are really getting into it, then it kind of goes against them all saying that the season's too long and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I see your point there. Yeah.
Have you noticed though that Wayne Bennett has?
So if you had to flick one or the other, you're gonna say you're gonna flick the All Stars game.
Yeah, I think as far as an exhibition and a genuine preseason thing,
okay,
the Nines to me is, and it also it really went quite well last year, I believe.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, it did.
If you could disagree with us on any of these, by the way, at @former_legend and myself at @latemailman.
Mm.
If you think our voices sound the same, just I'm the one who talks more because
and I sound sexy.
I'm full of hot air. Number two, a fit George Bailey versus a recovering Michael Clark. We're talking about the World Cup. Mm. Oh, the captaincy. I'm going to go fit George Bailey.
Yeah, so am I.
I'm going to go fit George Bailey because although for some reason he seems to be a bit polarizing. I don't know if that's just me.
Take away the personality, but I don't care.
I don't think you really need to take it much away.
Touche. I don't really care. I'd rather have a guy that I know is not going to break down, and I'm going to grit my teeth every time Clarkie plays. Especially so soon after a hamstring injury. So I prefer a fit George Bailey every time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we need to sort of look a bit ahead, and this is something for another day, but whether Clarkie's going to make it to England. Mm.
Perhaps if we get to our guest in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. That's a nice little hook. We've got a... Do we call him a cricket expert, or would you call him Australia's biggest cricket fan?
Well, both. Yeah, he knows his stuff.
He does know his stuff. He's followed teams around. We're going to be speaking to him in coming weeks if we can fit into his fat diary schedule.
Mm.
Number three, Cameron White dismissal. Out or not out? That was the Josh Lalor catch.
Yeah, against the Thunder for the Stars.
I did see this. I've watched a lot of Big Bash. Refresh my memory.
Lalor went backwards. Took the catch, then realised he was going over the fence, over the rope, threw the ball up, then came from the outfield to take the ball again, threw it up again as he was falling on the ground and took the ball back inside the rope.
Right, so he completed the catch as such,
mm.
but it was just his matter of his feet and all that. Mm. And we've seen some great ones of them this summer, I tell you what. Yeah.
This one, but well, first of all, I've got to say that according to the rules, it was a catch. They went through the next day and actually showed the rule that said that it was a catch.
Right.
However, and I will say a massive however,
yeah.
I don't give a rat's. To me, that's not a catch. Otherwise, you can be sitting 10 rows back under the scoreboard and play hot potato with a ball until you get back on the field and take the catch.
Well, I think, isn't the thing that you can't at any time be handling the ball whilst over the boundary?
Yes, but the old rule used to be to take the catch. Once you've finally got the ball in your hand,
right,
or any time you touch the ball, sorry, you had to be from inside the field.
Yeah, you had to have. Yeah.
Right, so that's why blokes were throwing it a million miles in the air, getting their feet back on the ground inside the field of play, and then taking a catch.
Yeah,
well, it never happened with this. And straight away, I tweeted, "It's a six. That's a six."
Yeah,
and don't worry, I was backed up by plenty, including the Big Show, who obviously read my tweet. And he said, it's not out, it's not out. And so did Cameron White. He was sure it was not out.
Well, Big Maxie's going to go into bat for his teammate, isn't he?
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, he's not going to speak out against him, is he?
Yeah, but with that in mind, taking away the attack on his integrity that you've just launched, I'm going to... Like, I still don't think that should be a catch. I honestly don't.
Is it one of those ones where you think it's so technical and there's this, that, and that, and like almost like the getting a fingernail on a ball, grounding a ball in,
yeah.
and it's a try. Like it's so fractional and so marginal and you've had to slow it down so much, have to do so much to prove that it is, that perhaps maybe just it isn't.
I'm sure during the season of NRL we'll be mentioning fingernail tries probably 30 or 40 times. But with this one in mind, this is more a fact that they've changed the rules, and I think it's been changed for the wrong reasons or with the wrong outcome. Like Maxwell said, and like I said to you, they can now touch the ball, and as long as their feet aren't touching the ground, they can be up 10 rows in the bleachers, and then hop a tail back, as long as their feet aren't touching, and get back onto the infield play. Now, no, it's not going to happen.
I see what you're saying. So maybe they jump every time they touch the ball.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. I see.
Which is rubbish. absolute rubbish.
Yeah. Although I think you make a very valid point, I'm going to be a real goody-goody, stay with the letter of the law and say it was a catch.
All right, I'm going.
Nadal versus Federer in the Tennis Hall of Fame. This is like the immortal discussion.
Mm.
Nadal versus Federer in Tennis Hall of Fame. Federer.
Yeah.
Just going to put it simply.
The end.
I think it's a bit of a Mark War versus Steve War discussion. Mm. Is it the grace and elegance? Like they've both got great numbers of records. Federer has got the more titles and has got a little bit more prestige. I don't know if that's a word. But I think, although a good discussion, I think at the end of the day, it's a Federer.
Yeah, I think years gone by, Sampras upped the ante as far as the level of tennis was played. He was playing shots that we hadn't heard of.
Absolutely.
And then I actually
because I was actually thinking of Sampras as I said that. They both have this beautiful fluid style.
Yeah.
Whereas Nadal's a real mongrel on the court.
Yeah.
More in the Agassi mold sort of thing.
Yeah. And what I think too, I think Federer took off from where Sampras left off. And actually raised the bar again. He was pulling out angled shots for probably 2 years there that we'd never seen before.
Well, yeah, I mean that's the markings of a great player, isn't it? You know, Andrew Johns, for example. We were talking about the Immortals. He invented stuff in the game. You know, I think the banana kick was something that he there's a park footballer somewhere who's claiming that they did the banana kick first.
He would have changed rugby union, that bloke.
Yeah,
if they'd have signed him. I think
rugby union, what though? You're asking the question. He was never going.
Really?
He was never going to rugby union. Mm. I think these days, hand on his heart, he'd say he was never going to rugby union.
Okay.
It was just him having a bit of fun, I think.
Mm. Anyway, I'll still say. So with that in mind, definitely Federer by the length of the straight, in my opinion.
Yeah, as I get our next beer out of the fridge. Heineken?
Jeez. We've made budget.
Yes. No more hammer and tongs. Kevin Peterson, in or out of the England cricket team for World Cup? Now, this is an interesting one because he came to Australia for the Big Bash. Mm. I've got to say, on a bit of a hiding to nothing because everyone was kind of like, this dick.
Wanker, yeah.
I think he hasn't hurted. That was good. I don't think he's hurt his reputation coming here. I think he's only improved it. Your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on Kevin Peterson have greatly changed since he came.
In a good or a bad way?
Oh, in a great way. Nice. I thought he was a tool.
Yep.
And he may well have been a tool against us, but when he's not playing specifically against Australia, he's shown that he's pretty good value. As a cricketer, if he isn't the one in the top 14 Pommy cricketers going around right now, then they are strong.
Well, yeah. I mean, they made short work of India last night, but that's not really saying much because India played like bustards.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say, so what you're saying, he will be in the England cricket team for the World Cup?
No, I don't think he will be. Should he be? Yes. As an Australian fan, am I glad he's not? Absolutely.
I'm going to disagree with you and say that he should certainly not be in the England cricket team, but he should be in the South African cricket team.
Or Afghanistan, captain.
Yeah, I think he visited there once.
Is that on his tattoo? Have you seen his tattoo? Have you know about it?
No.
Haven't you heard about it? He got the tattoo of the world on his back.
Of course he did.
And there was little marks all over the globe. And he said, I'll let you guess what they're about. Well, that's where he got his hundreds. So I don't know if he's got a star next to in Afghanistan, but...
Our next one, Serena versus Serena or Venus Williams.
Let me take this one.
Oh yeah, I didn't actually see what that next word was. Go on.
Okay, so hoodie in a nightclub. Picture this.
Yep.
You look like an Ivy man, obviously, with your short shorts and your glow sticks.
Right.
And
I'll let you go on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And so you're up busting your Gangnam style dance moves.
That's all I do.
And the two sisters Williams are in the nightclub.
Yep.
And because you're a charming mofo.
Well, because people can't see my face.
Which one does Hoodie choose?
Okay, just bear with me. I'm just Googling here. I just want to have them side by side.
Come on, man. They're the most recognizable.
I know girls. They are, but I just want to be able to make it like a direct side by side comparison. Oh, geez. Venus.
Really?
Yeah. She's taller. She's taller and perhaps a little more slender.
She's definitely slender.
But maybe that's not what you're going for. You?
Oh, Serena, every day of the week.
Righto, mate. You don't have to answer it that quickly. People are going to ask questions.
Hang on, I just take my pants off. I want to talk about this a little bit longer.
We leave pants on in here. Thank you very
much. I reckon this is a great discussion for our listeners. So anyone out there who wants to get involved, at FCTTB_podcast.
Correct.
At former_legend or at late mailman. With the hashtag Serena or Venus, tell us in my nightclub scenario which one you're going for.
I like it. I've got one for you just quickly.
Mark or Steve Waugh?
No, Josh or Brett Morris. Overs or unders? Okay, the World Cup is coming up, the Cricket World Cup. We always have, British Columbia are playing this year. No, they're not. But we've always got the minnows. For example, the United Arab Emirates, Ireland, Afghanistan, and Scotland to win over or under one game in the World Cup. Does that mean between them?
No, against the established sides. So okay. Any one of those teams, and I'm talking established as in Bangladesh is established.
Yeah, right, okay. So basically anyone that's not
there. So this is the bottom tier teams.
Yeah.
This is your, I don't know, Raiders and Dragons. Shout out to all the Raiders and Dragons fans out there.
In their defense, they have good finishes to games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So under or over one game, will they beat a test playing nation because all those teams play tests?
I'm going to be bold and say over.
Yeah.
For some reason, I'm looking at United Arab Emirates and thinking they're a chance. I've got a relative with the Afghanistan team, and if he's got anything to do with them, he'll get them firing. I'm going to say overs. A bold prediction.
I'm going to say overs as well, believe it or not. I get the feeling that a couple of weakened sides like Zimbabwe, where a loaf of bread's now $1 million, and Bangladesh could be ripe for the pickings. So I'm going to say over.
Or New Zealand, for that matter. It really depends. It depends. They don't have any Chris Cairns or anything like that anymore. They have McCullum.
I believe they're fourth favourites, but anyway.
New Zealand will not win the World Cup. There you go. There's a bold prediction.
Really?
I'm an oracle. Just believe me, mate. Number two, Paul Gallen. Over or under 13 games for the Sharks in 2015 with no plans to retire from rep footy. And let's face it, that's what he lives for because Cronulla aren't going to win a premiership.
Well, they'll go a lot better this year, I'll say that.
What, they might win the AMCO Cup?
Well, we'll do an NRL preview in a couple of weeks' time. But yep. I think my preview of the Sharks may shock you.
I'm sorry, but when they've got a 1 in 16 chance, let's assume that all is equal, I just can't see them winning the competition. Something's going to happen along the way.
I never said they're going to win the comp either, but my prediction will...
I think they'll be top eight.
Yeah.
But that aside, Paul Gallen, over or under 13 games for the Sharks in 2015, given that he'll play, you would imagine, injury and suspension notwithstanding, 3 games for New South Wales, probably 1 or 2 for Australia, depending on when they throw the arbitrary tests in there. Over.
Over 13?
Yeah. Out of 26 games, not including finals, I think he'll make about... I reckon he'll get about 17 out of himself.
Yeah, I'm going to say under.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I got a...
Well, he's what, 31 now?
I got a bad feeling, Sharks fans. Blokes don't come back from injury.
He hasn't
just
played
as well.
Many club games he's in the last boxing, few years, has he?
He's got one fight coming up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say under. I'm going to say about a dozen. He'll play a dirty dozen.
All right. Write that one down. Remind us if Cronulla go 13-0 for the start of the season, make sure you give former legend heaps on Twitter. Over under one Aussie left in the second week of Oz Open, so we're 2 nights into it now. There's few of them made it through the second round.
Yeah, 10.
Yeah, right. Okay. One Aussie left in the second week of Oz Open.
So Sunday.
So basically, they're all going to get bundled out before Sunday, except one.
Are you saying over or under?
Over. It's our year. It's our year. Has to be.
Is it?
Has to be. Oh. Like France in the 98 World Cup.
I can see one of these days in the next couple of days becoming Armageddon for Australian tennis. And it won't be a moment too soon because I'm sick of hearing the term, it's Australia Day at Melbourne Park. God, I mean, every year. So I'm going to say... I'm going to say there'll be one Aussie left and it'll be Bernie on Monday.
Because it'll be the one that everyone wants to bash.
Come Monday, and I want to see how you all handle
that. How about his first game? He was love 3 in the first set before anyone blinked.
Mate, don't worry about
and
his first
Twitter
game.
Lit up. No, but I'm just saying Twitter lit up. They were basically like, oh, yeah, here he goes. Blah, 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 blah. Then he won the first set 7-5, I think, and went on to win the match. So there
what
you
about
go.
His get up? Have you seen it?
He looks like he's working in a factory, like a high-vis style thing. Someone made a good point. Is he wearing that shirt because the ball might blend into it? Because the top of his shirt was so iridescent yellow-green, you know, that colour, like a tennis ball.
Well, I tweeted Nike and asked them, was there a pocket for his glow sticks and whistles in that shirt?
And what did John Nike say reply?
No, I tweeted the real deal, but nothing. They've had a bad week, Nike. But anyway, we'll talk about that.
The Australian Open, over or under... Two night sessions to go past 1:30 a.m. Mm. Okay. So how many matches could Leighton Hewitt still have?
I'm going to say at least one.
His first night match where he goes to five sets will
doesn't
go...
Doesn't have to be a night match for Leighton to get past 1:30. No, he'll starting about 4 in the
he'll go to March. I'll tell you. He'll go to March. I'm going to say overs.
Yeah?
Yeah, I reckon we're going to get like a 2:45 or something.
I remember one time McEnroe went to about that time.
Out on the town or on the court?
Yeah, just off his nut. I'm going to say under. For some reason...
You think it's going to be a bit of a beige Australian Open, do you?
Yeah.
Everyone just knocking over in 3-4 sets?
Yeah.
Keeping everything on schedule?
As long as there's no rain and they don't start jamming them into those stadiums with the roofs, I'm going to say under. I'm going to say one night session will go past 1:30.
There is not going to be a drop of rain, I reckon, in Melbourne in the next 2 weeks. It is just going to be scorching to blazes. The Australian Open loves heat.
Those Europeans will be dropping like flies.
Okay, speaking of the heat at the Oz Open, over or under 9 withdrawals from heat at the Oz Open, which was the 2014 number. I thought it's just been plucked out of nowhere. Wow. Does that include ball boys? You remember the ball boy who pissed himself on the court a couple of years ago? What's he doing now? He's probably CEO of somewhere.
The greatest ball boy memory I've got is Kramer, but anyway.
Yes, that is good. That is good.
So over or under 9?
Under.
Now, I'll give you a little bit of inside info here before you pick. They have raised the threshold of walking off the court by 3 degrees this year. It used to be 38, now it's 41.
What?
Yeah. That's court temperature, by the way, not
air temperature. Yeah. And it's always 35 degrees hotter on the court, apparently. Mm. So
that means they're going to be show a little bit more longevity.
Yeah, okay, which means there's more likelihood of more. Yeah, I'm going to go unders. I did say unders before. I'm going to stick. It's like, who wants to be a millionaire? You stick with your gut instinct. I'm going to say unders, and I'm going to collect the cash.
Right, I'm going to say overs. Let's put a six-pack on it.
You're a sadist.
How are we going to find out? But will that be noted somewhere?
Who's covering the tennis? Rachel Finch will know. She's on
is
the
she
cover.
There?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
tennis
we'll
expert Rachel
yeah,
Finch,
yeah, okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Ex girlfriend.
Oh really?
Of someone, not me. Yeah. Well, we got some good news and bad news. The good news is Ken Nagus is playing the nines for the Raiders in a week or two. The bad news is that we're not going to be around next week. I'm afraid to record beforehand. So, it's Auckland Nines. Is that their official name?
So where are you going next week, Detox?
I'm going to go play with Sharks.
Yeah. Ben Barber?
I'll leave you... No. No,
right, yeah,
anyway. The Auckland Nines are happening weekend, if that's an actual phrase.
Yeah.
So the weekend after next. And since we're not going to be able to preview them next week, we'll give a little bit of a preview this week. The big news, as I mentioned, Ken Nagus, who last suited up for the Raiders in their first game in 1982, I think.
Yeah.
No, he retired...
84.
That was when he made his debut. He retired, I don't actually know, I think it was around maybe about early 2000s.
Yeah.
He's about 43 now.
I believe 43 is on the money. Yeah.
So let's say he retired about 32, 33. So early 2000s anyway. He's going to be playing for the Raiders. I'm pretty sure he's older than Freddie. I think Freddie was 41 last year when he played. Or he might not have even been. I don't even know. But
research.
Nagus is here. Just bench. Clive, you're fired. Call yourself a lawyer / producer / doorman. Get out.
Grab some beers on your way out, will you?
Ken Nagus to play for the Raiders. What do you reckon?
I
reckon smacks of classic Raiders. Yeah. Classic Raiders. They've seen other teams do it and gone, you know, like the signing. Like basically everyone's, you know, crowning the signing. We got this awesome player. And then Raiders like, yeah, we signed Sisawanga.
Do you think Ricky thinks that this is a move for long term? Do you think Ricky might think Nagus has got 3 or 4 years in him?
So he's got Wonga on one wing and Ken Nagus on the other.
And you probably won't pick either of them in a lineup. So, look, in a way,
I don't think it's gonna have the same novelty value or commercial value that the Freddie and Menzies had last year.
No, I don't think so either. Although there's part of me that would thinks that the Nines would be an even better spectacle if each team had to nominate
like a wild card sort of
player. That has to have played 100 games for their team.
I do love that idea. Yeah. And it was mooted last year.
Yeah.
When they were getting on the whole
Manly game Menzies. Yeah. Obviously. He's still fit as a fiddle.
Yeah. Or Mark Bryant. You know, if we're throwing out
the Tigers would probably go Benji. Oh, I know this is awkward.
Hang on. Hang on a sec.
Yeah, I think it'd...
It'd be a great discussion as well. Can you imagine imagine the clubs around the board table going, like putting out, you know, those headshots and just going, putting big crosses across a couple of them because maybe they're a dick.
Manly go Hopewadi, you reckon? Big red cross.
Will, former player, yeah. Definitely not Jamil or Johnny. I think it's a great idea. I'd love to see it happen. I don't think it'd detract from the comp at all. You know, if a couple of teams are doing it already, why not?
So the Warriors have named pretty much a full-strength side. Sean Johnson, Golden Boot winner to captain the side. Do you think maybe the Warriors take this more serious than anyone?
They want to get a bit of silverware. I don't know if it's if we should read too much into that, to be honest, because... You know, the whole thing is, I think it's one or two of the top five earning players have to go over.
Yeah.
And the team nominates who that's going to be. But top earning is one thing. With the Warriors, it's anyone's guess as to who's going to be their best player each week.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like they're so hot and cold.
It's true.
That perhaps them fielding their best team won't necessarily bring home the pickies.
Yeah.
You know, it just depends which... That said, you know, they're... style of play does lend itself very well to the
Plus,
Nines.
Every bloke in their team, bar a few, are 6'4", 120 kilos. Wingers, front rowers, and everything in between. So
I'd love to see Sean Johnson have a really good Nines tournament and start to the season. When watching him in good form, he's sublime to watch.
Yeah.
I sort of alluded to this before. Could the Sharks win a trophy? Their only bit of silverware is the Amco Cup in 1974, I think.
We could have done which do you choose? Is the Amco Cup going to be more valuable than a Nines trophy for the Sharks?
I reckon in this day and age, they would hang their hat on a Nines trophy.
Nines trophy,
They would love it.
Yeah.
They would love it.
Buzzard call for a parade.
Yeah.
King Juan would go off.
I think your answer to this is no.
They can't win?
I just feel like I can say it so confidently. They will not win.
You know what?
They didn't even win the Tuis Challenge in 1992.
At 10-1, I reckon they're a good bet.
Well, you get on them with $2. Maybe a leg of a multi.
$2.
That'd be a nice big kicker on a multi.
Empty the ashtray out of your car.
On a multi, mate. 50's come on.
Hanging out of that.
Come on. So what do you reckon? Can they do it?
Yeah. Yeah, they can.
All right.
I think with the talent available, yeah, they can.
Well, if anyone knows a good psychologist, I'd like former legend to speak to him if that's okay. At @former_legend, you can advise him if you're near a shrink. On the Nines and whether teams take it seriously or not, should they?
Yeah.
$1 million to winners. I think it was Kevin Locke who blew out his leg in his only game for North Queensland.
Yeah.
Like he didn't even play. It was his first season for North Queensland.
You don't want
the
that
Nines, blew himself out, didn't play for the rest of the season.
Yeah, look, there's...
Wasn't Kevin Locke. Does Kevin Locke still play for the Warriors?
No, he's Warriors.
Lachlan Coote.
Lachlan Coote.
Yeah. It was the Locke part that got me. Lachlan Coote.
So, There's like two trains of thought here. There's the Des Hasler, we'll just name a real bare bones team.
Yeah.
And there's the Warriors, who I've looked at their squad. It's strong. It's a strong outfit. So which one's right? I don't know. I'd be spewing if my superstar player got hurt.
Yeah.
So I can't. I'd cotton wool a lot of blokes, put it that way.
Yeah, I think you're right as well. And, you know, at any slight hint of an injury, you're hauling them off and they're not going back on for the tournament.
So, is it... We spoke about this before. You don't think it's any form guide to the...
No, I don't think so. And I think our reasons we've just said kind of cover that there.
Yeah.
The fact that, let's face it, for Melbourne, Smith and Slater, I don't imagine will be there.
Slater especially.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's had himself cut open 10 ways from Tuesday over the off season. I think, you know, the Storm will be parading their Bromwiches, and I don't know if they'd even send Bromwich, to be honest.
Tom Leroy Lars will be running around for the Storm.
Yeah. Georgie Rose might be their
He's their the big Dragons, joker. Mate. He's the Dragons now.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He's parked at Sizzlers.
Summer and Heineken have hit me hard tonight. Mm. Sorry about that.
If I'm just looking at the odds here, Hoodie, the Warriors are favourites at 4-1.
Well, I mean, for good reason, as you said. And let's face it, they are a great touch footy team when they want
to
be.
They gave it a shot last year. They got to the last game with the Bronx, who are at 7-1.
Do you reckon it's possible for the Broncos to name 9 fullbacks in their starting 9?
Well, they've lost a couple now. Barber's gone. Hoffman's gone.
Yeah, so that probably leaves about
Darius
9.
Darius is gone.
That leaves about 9.
Yeah. you've got the Cowboys at 8-1.
Defending champions.
However, I understand that Thurston won't play.
How about some of the... Sorry to interrupt. Thurston won't play. Yeah, I don't think he will. Mm. I think he'd be great. I think he'd be a great nines player. He'd be someone like him who's such a great freestyle talent.
Mm.
You know, he really can hold the ball on a string. And I think he'd be fantastic to watch.
He's in for a long year this year.
Absolutely, he is. And I've got to say, North Queensland need to win the NRL title.
Well, I'm starting to think that it's this year or no year for the Cowboys. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks' time.
I like to see down the bottom of the odds. So we've got a few teams sort of hanging around the $10 to $17 market. The ones you'd probably expect, to be honest. But then down, Melbourne, Manly, Sydney Roosters and the Bulldogs are all four of the bottom five.
Yeah.
With Canberra Raiders in there as well.
Ken Nagus hasn't swung any voters.
No,
obviously.
Sorry, Kenny. So I think again, that's more proof that perhaps, A, it's not any form gone to the season, and B, do they take it seriously?
Yeah. The punters that follow me and us on Twitter, get on the Tigers at... a juicy 15-1.
I don't mind that, actually. I don't mind that at all.
Big value. The boys are training very, very well.
And there's a few boys in that team who I believe would be making their comebacks from injury, who'll be raring to go and wanting to show off a little bit.
Chalk legs. Plus, Chalk legs Lawrence is the captain, so that's a worry.
So and also they're going to be wearing the sleeveless jerseys. So they've got to kind of... They have to perform. That. They have to perform, otherwise they'll get teased.
Yeah, yeah.
See, so they're up against it. I mean, we'll be teasing them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's face it.
You look like that dickhead in the nightclub who decides to have a dance and you think, geez, you're throwing it all in the bag here, son.
You look like insert the name of any AFL player. Mm. So therefore, ha-ha.
Bang. So your tip? Give me a short one and a roughie.
Penrith to win it, because I think they're due a bit of success.
No Jamie Soward, by the way.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Your point? I think Soward. Penrith and a long shot, maybe the Tigers. Maybe the Tigers. I don't mind that.
Tigers and my roughies at 15s. That's, get them to Joel Kane, because they're shit odds, really. And he's your mate. And...
When he's on time.
Yeah. I'm going to toss in the Sharks as my other bet.
All right, mate. So you just bloody love the Shire tonight, don't you?
Mm.
All right, our weekly full credit to the boys awards. This is basically your chance to get involved. If you consider yourself a bit of a witty little fella on or chick, I'm sure we've got plenty of female listeners, on Twitter, or if you see a funny tweet, just include us in it, tag us in it in some way or other. We will see it. We do see everything that people tweet us, including the slander and the abuse and the general meanness. Basically what we do is we've got two categories. We've got amateur and celebrity. And each week we choose just the favourite tweets that we've seen across the Twitter sphere. You can lead this week, former legend. Amateur.
Yeah, my amateur. Well, I've got two yet again. I don't know why I did that, but nonetheless, my first one is from a user called @JWrightGiant. And I just thought this was pretty clever.
Jonathan Wright from the Sharks?
Believe it or not, that's what I thought. I wonder. However, his tweet was, I may be reading between the lines here, but it seems @KP24, which Kevin is Kevin Peterson may have fallen out with the ECB.
There's been some funny stuff about KP on Twitter, I must say. Your other amateur one?
My other amateur one was @PatrickAvanel, and his tweet was, the fast four tennis would be better if it had 12 more players per side, a bigger ball, and if it were rugby league. I couldn't agree more.
Good work, Paddy. While we're on the topic of amateur and you bragging about how you got two, got zero this week.
Why?
Got zero amateurs because I'm afraid the people I follow, they're just not serving up for me enough. Mm. So I would like...
Lift their game.
Absolutely lift your fucking game.
Mm. All right, and my celebrity.
Yes.
And he's back at work this week and he has been very good. And there was a few on the one night, but I picked this one as the best. And it's a little bit of a visual and audio one, but if you go back through his tweets, @DanGanane from Triple M.
Yep.
And he tweeted out a picture of a Korean soccer player being stretched off from Spider Cam. And Dan wrote, the only music appropriate for this vicious nosebleed injury, and Dan played the MASH music over it. And it was awesome. I believe it got absolutely pumped as far as retweets were concerned.
Awesome. My celebrity this week, actually, funnily enough, this is without discussion at all, is also another Triple M personality, Mark MG Geyer. And it's not really... Well, I'll read it to you. So, at Mark MG Geyer, damn you, this plethora of sport on the box tonight. Near impossible to put the head on the pillow. #3:30 AM alarm. And it's not the fact that he's talking about how there's so much sport on the box.
Use the word plethora.
It's that MG used the word plethora, which leads me to think that perhaps he's gotten himself one of those word of the day toilet papers and he's been snapping one off and gone, you know what, I'm going to use that in a sentence. Or he's been on Microsoft Word and gone, what's another word for a lot?
Or,
and he's done the Shift F7.
Or Woody's also got access to his Twitter account.
Well, that too, yeah. So there you go. If you see a good tweet on Twitter, please let us know. @LateMailman, @former_legend, and @FCTTB_podcast. On the topic of Twitter, we've got a little bit of a challenge whereby former legend needs to get a reply and a follow from Sally Fitzgibbons, and his challenge in turn to me was that I have to get the same thing from Shane Warne. How'd you go this week?
Can I tell you, if I thought I was in trouble last week, this week I am in all sorts.
Because you didn't tweet it?
No, I had a crack again. And it's a little bit embarrassing now. It's like everyone's watching me. It's like when you're dancing at the nightclub and the lights come on. It's like, ah, shit.
I was thinking when you're at school and everyone knows you're about to ask the girl out, so everyone's just watching the whole scene.
Anyway, so...
you shouldn't have asked her out, by the way.
That's next. Well, you always think you're a chance there, surely. Now, I went back through Sally's account, and if there's one thing I can say, Hoodie, is that her Twitter account is almost... solely for the purpose of promotion.
It's almost a commercial agreement.
Which is what you
right?
warned me about. You said that you know, you're going to struggle horribly here, and I thought I'd breeze this in. My good looks, charm, and just nicks nothing. So this week I had a crack, and it was because I was so close to 3,500 followers on Twitter. So right. I wrote, getting close to 3,500 followers, I wonder who number 3,500 will be at Sally Fitz. And yet again, crickets.
Let me ask you, did your follower count actually go down after that?
Believe it or not, yes.
Yes. People hate it. They're just like, I'll show this guy. And then they do this really emphatic unfollow.
Wipe that out. I had a bloke follow me the other night after I put up a picture of Ian Botham's. You know, remember the Ian Botham cock shot?
Yep.
I told you I was going to tweet.
Yep.
And I wrote about his selfie stick being better than anyone else's. And I had a bloke follow me and then literally a minute later say, that's not what I want to see on my timeline. And then he blocked me all within the space of about 2 minutes.
Not a champ. I didn't ask you to come along. Well, stay away.
I'm thinking Twitter mightn't be for that guy because he's going to be
yeah, if you're a sensitive
horrified.
Soul, Twitter's no place for you.
Yeah.
My Twitter challenge with Warnie this week.
Yeah.
I only actually tried at the last minute tonight. I'll be honest, I'd forgotten till now.
Oh.
And also, I just wanted to let the whole Women's Weekly crap with Warnie this
you
week.
You heard about that?
Just simmer down a little bit.
Yeah.
I let it simmer down and then I used it a little bit as well right. In this week. So I said, Warn Dog. Called him Warn Dog.
Nice.
I'm sure that's what his mates call him. Warn Dog. Don't worry about this Tinder malarkey. Speaking of big words.
Nice.
No inflatable penis this time. Plus the best ever thing. So that's a win at yeah. Shane Warne. Now that's referring to the fact that this woman allegedly said he was her best ever, which I don't know if that says more about him or about you, love, to be honest.
Let that one go through the Cooper.
And then I got a reply.
Oh, you got a reply.
I got a reply.
Drum roll.
From at Chook75. So
that's,
I don't think
that's not Warnie.
That's
is it?
Not Warnie, no. He said, love this bloke. And I thought, good on you, mate. He enjoyed my gear. Good on you. At Chook75. There you go.
Nice work, Chooky.
Speaking of punters out there on Twitter, our pizza delivery challenge
has
been. Well, it got a little bit of momentum after our last episode, didn't it?
Yeah.
So a bit of background to this is one of our listeners at BlakeCole72.
That's right. He tweeted that him and his mates are in part of a joke. They played a thing with Domino's Pizza. When they order a pizza in the internet, on the internet delivery, they write under special instructions, they write little messages and. This week, Blake sent me one, and I'll tell you, it pretty much, this bloke must be a fruitcake. He's written to Domino's, don't be alarmed if I answer the door naked. Mum is just giving me a massage.
That's awesome.
Now, he photoed that docket
yeah.
and sent it to us, and it's on our SCTTB _ podcast Twitter account. It's also on our Facebook page. Blake's the real deal as far as this challenge is concerned and is the clubhouse leader.
Yeah, so this is basically where, obviously it's not for this sort of thing. It's more for go around the right-hand side of the house to the door, be
That's
careful,
right.
there's a step or whatever. But yeah. instead, just a massive piss take. It's good. And we got a reply from one of our, dare I say, biggest fans?
Yeah, at Aussie Jag.
Champion of a bloke.
Yeah, tweets us, recommends us and does everything else for us. Possibly will be our media manager within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Clive. Yeah, you can drop that one off your title.
Yeah, change your business cards again, Clive. And Aussie Jag, who got himself a pizza for his birthday, and under his delivery instructions on Domino's on his docket was, could I get the driver to swing past the bottle-o and grab a packet of Winnie Reds and a carton of KB? Now,
that's good.
Now, pulling at the heartstrings with the KB was always a good move.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but believe it or not, Aussie Jag told me then that Domino's rang him and said that their driver can't do that. So.
Yes. No way. That's awesome. So they're reading it. Good.
Yeah. So guys, join in the fun. Don't be too crude or whatever, but it's a good laugh and we're enjoying it. We're killing it. You'll get a mention here and former legend and late mailman will have you over for dinner one night.
Probably absolutely.
When I'm not here.
It will be pizza and we'll put something funny on the receipt. Good times. Now, before we go today, we have mentioned some of the people who have taken the time to tweet us. This is what we call the boys sack.
Sorry?
The boys sack.
Full, is it?
This is basically where we just give a little bit of a thanks to people who have taken the time to tweet us. Perhaps they've given us a review or a rating on iTunes, which please take the time to do. It takes literally about 30 seconds. You just search it in your iTunes, you find the podcast, you review it, and you rate it, give it 1 to 5 stars. We'll let you decide how many stars you want to give.
Five's good. That's the answer.
We'll like you more if you put 5 on there, pretty much. So we've got 3 more 5-star reviews on iTunes, which is great.
Yeah,
good
one
times.
From the aforementioned Aussie Jag, one from someone named Orlando Boom.
Oh.
I
I read that wrong, and I thought we'd actually broken through to Hollywood. Fuck.
And another one from Rocket001, who suggested we get Boring NRL Guy on one of our podcasts. Thank you, one and all, for those 5-star reviews. They mean a lot to us, and they're our payment for the week, basically.
Absolutely, yeah. We're doing... In fact, this is costing us money doing this podcast. Beer costs money. Council permission to be in this odd parking station costs us money too.
Westfields.
Heineken's expensive. So we've also got another few
Hoodie, can I just mention three guys who are dead set legends on Twitter? Mm. They join in the fun, but they don't have many followers, and yet I reckon they do some of the sharpest things on Twitter. So if you're on Twitter and you're not sure who to follow, give these three guys a run. They are bloody good. At the underscore pinhead, P-I-N-H-E-D, not H-E-A-D.
Okay.
At Joe Davola 76.
Crazy Joe Davola.
Yeah, which I quite
Seinfeld
enjoyed.
Reference there, yeah. If you were wondering.
J-O-E-D-A-V-O-L-A 76.
Yep.
And at Mr. Ives, all three of those guys will tweet you some gold.
Happy days.
Yeah, so good on them guys.
So you can get involved with us at any time on Twitter. We are at Late Mailman. That's myself, at former underscore legend, this numpty over here. Together, along with Clive, we run FCTTB underscore podcast as well. You can find us on Facebook. We've got a website as well, which, let's face it, is... there's one thing on there which you might like to see. There's a bit of a tease for them. Full credit to the boys podcast.com. So there's a stack of ways to get in contact with us. Honestly, tweet us. We'll tweet you back. If you're abusing us, probably block you, or I'll come back with something funny, which, let's face it, will be funnier than you because you're a numpty. And then block you. That's right. So I'll have the last word. Absolutely. But no, please get in touch with us. We're enjoying all your feedback. We're enjoying doing this podcast. We want to continue all the way through 2015. We're going to do stacks throughout the NRL season because, let's face it, we don't have any right to talk about any other sports.
Guests,
we've got some good guests on the way as well. One guy, a huge guest who's not so huge anymore. There you go. There's a little bit of a hint.
And we'll probably run the Viv Richards story past him, will we?
Absolutely. Well, he's familiar with another celebrity defamation story, so there we go. We're going to try to get my old mate Joel Kane on here as well throughout the season. Let's face it, Jimmy Smith's due a visit as well.
Come on, Jimmy.
So thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time.
See ya. Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action?